Blog Talk Radio.
Era notte a târziu.
It was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că n-a fost la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stăm și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Și odată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why'd you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-a lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Te-am adus aici, că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă arzi aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu?
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
I-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și ne-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
I-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am Michael Boldea, your host, and if you are listening to this broadcast, on August the 8th or the 9th, I believe, 2018, then congratulations. We are live. Wasn't able to make it last week. I was in traffic court. I had an appointment or a court date, I guess, for 2:30, and come 5-something-ish, it was just ridiculous. I didn't do nothing naughty, as the kids like to say. No, I took a right turn. It didn't say no turn on red. In most states where you're not supposed to take a right turn on a red, they tell you no turn on red. I obey traffic laws. There was no sign, but apparently there was a camera. So I went to try to appeal it, but the state of Illinois needs the money, apparently. So they said, unless otherwise posted, no turn on red. And so they took my dinero, and I came home having wasted a day, pretty much, over taking a right turn on a red light. So that was my week. At least that was my Thursday last week. It is hot and muggy in Wisconsin. I'm assuming it's hot and muggy everywhere, looking at the weather map. Not as hot as in California, though. If you guys, any of you are living in this El Señor, Lake El Señor area or San Bernardino County, you're in my prayers. Be safe. Evacuate if they tell you. Because this thing's growing, it's chewing up trees and brush and homes. Oh my! At a very snappy pace. and they don't seem to have gotten it under control. So a lot of I know San Bernardino County. I used to live not there. I lived in Orange County, but I used to drive a lot because there's a lot of Romanians that live in San Bernardino. There's a Romanian church that we used to go to once in a while. So I know the area pretty well, and it's one of those things where you're thankful. It's not you that has to pick up your life and just drive away, hoping that you're going to find something more than ashes when you return. But you also feel for those that are in that position, because there will be some. And looking at the map of this and looking at how it's spreading and where the winds are taking it, I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of people that are going to leave with meager possessions. They're going to leave with just what they can put in their car, hopefully the important things like memories and such, and return to ashes with the fire having consumed everything. But it's better to walk away and come back to nothing than try to stand guard against the flames and try to use a, you know, water hose to keep your house from burning and, you know, be incinerated along with it. There are some people that do that. It's hard to judge, because I've never been in that position, but I know how minimally, let's put it that way. I know how minimally I am attached to things. I know how minimally I am attached to stuff and to possessions and to what I own. And I know that I could walk away at any moment without a second thought. I wouldn't be there trying to keep some beams and wood and tile from burning. I'd make sure that my family was safe. I'd make sure that they were out of harm's way. And that would be my priority and my prerogative. And I think anybody that's willing to put themselves in danger, in physical danger, and perhaps even you know, the possibility of being consumed by fire, just to keep some wood and tile from burning, needs to reassess their priorities. Look, things can be rebuilt. Homes can be rebuilt. But once a life is lost, it is gone. That's it. You get one playthrough. There's no redos. There's no timeouts. There's no restarts. I'm sorry. If anyone of the Buddhist persuasion is listening, I don't mean to crush your dreams of reincarnation, but it's hokey. Come on, it's almost up there with Scientology, the whole reincarnation thing. So make the best of this life now. Make choices that will affect your eternal soul for the better, because the temporality of this life only comes into focus when we discover and we find out how little time we have left. There's a young lady, was younger than me by a lot, I think by 7 or 8 years. And they were one of the few Romanian families back in the neighborhood in Fullerton in California. When we used to live out there, when we first got deported from Romania and came to the U.S. And I used to play with her and her brother. We weren't the same age, but there were no other kids that spoke my language. There was like a Vietnamese family, and even though the boy was closer to my age, they ate those, like, I guess they're not rotten eggs, but I don't know what they are, but they're black inside and some of them have the little chicks. So I thought that was weird, and I try to avoid the Vietnamese kids. So even though the Romanians were younger than me, I played with them. She's going through a battle right now that I can't even fathom. She discovered that unless God intervenes and does so mightily, she has very little time on this earth. Cancer, tumors, it's apparently everybody's getting it nowadays. But this one kind of hit close to home because I knew her as a girl, as a little girl. And now she's got a daughter of her own, and she's married, and they had plans. They looked into the future and saw the potential of happiness and walking hand in hand 30 years down the road. And now the cold reality has set in that every sunrise might be her last, and it is precious because it might be her last. And so when we can come to understanding of just how precious this spark of life that God has given us is, without having to go through the valley of being told that our time is running out and we have much shorter of a time span here than we thought, when we can come to the realization that every sunrise has to be precious, because whether you're terminal or not, tomorrow might be your last day for a thousand different reasons, because only God knows how long you have. And so when we shift our understanding of this present life from, I'm going to live so long, I'm going to get bored of living, to life is such a precious gift that every day must be lived for the glory of God. Life is such a precious gift that every day we must labor and do what we can, then though we might be a little tired at the end of the day, it would have been a worthwhile day, a day lived well. Because we live in an age and a time where wasting time has become the hobby du jour. People have a million distractions. I flew out of Chicago recently, and there was a long line at TSA. And everybody was in their own little world, you know, playing games, listening to music, something to take away from the reality of being in line. And I just looked around and I studied the faces, and I saw how lost some people were in their own little world, not looking around, not understanding that there's way too many people in line for 4:50 in the morning, and that something must have happened for there to have accumulated such a mass of people. Nobody gave it a second thought. They just like sheep, heads down into their phones, taking one step, being prodded by somebody behind them that looked up a nanosecond before they did to see that somebody ahead of them took three steps before they were able to shuffle forward. And you realize that for the most part, more people than we want to admit and more people than we'd like to admit are just shuffling along, putting so little value on every breath, putting so little value on every day, that they wake up looking for ways to waste away the 12 hours until they can go back to bed again. And far too many people are living that kind of existence, and I just cannot understand that kind of mindset. I cannot understand that sort of life philosophy where we're just sailing through life, waiting for it to end, and some people get so bored with the waiting that they decide to help the ending along with, a noose or a scarf or whatnot. And we're not talking about people who are desperately clinging to life in poverty. We're talking about well-off people. People that from the outside looking in have no reason to fret, have no reason to be depressed, upset, or otherwise suicidal. And yet, in the last, what, month and a half, we haven't talked about it, but it's happening. You've had a celebrity chef, a celebrity designer, and some other person that was very well known in certain circles decide to help the end along by putting their hand in and ending their own lives. How little do you value life when others are fighting tooth and nail just to see another sunrise? They're going through chemotherapy that are making their hair fall out of their head, that are causing them severe pains. They can't hold anything down. They're withering away, and still they're clinging onto life, wanting one more day. And these people that seemingly have everything handed to them on a silver platter decide they're so bored with it all that they must end it. You know, maybe it's the weather, because it's been rainy and icky, but I'm in one of those moods where there are certain actions that people take that I just don't understand. People do things that are beyond my ability to comprehend as far as what motivated them to do what they did. And I'm one of those clinical people. I like analyzing the situation. And just for my own peace of mind, most of the time, I need to understand motivation. Because if you understand the motivation behind someone's actions, if you understand the motivation behind someone's words, if you understand the motivation behind someone's choices, then you can get to the root of the matter. Then you can see the whole picture. See, God's motivation in sending Christ was love. When you get down to the root of it, you realize that God is not your enemy. God's not standing at the finish line hoping you sprain your ankle or break your leg while running the race. He's not standing at the finish line eating popcorn, hoping you get so out of breath that you quit. He's not standing at the finish line hoping you find you follow some schmuck off the racetrack or off the course and discover you've been disqualified because you never reached the end of the race. God was motivated by love in sending Jesus. And so everything that God can do in order to aid you in finishing your race faithfully, he will do it. Motivation is important. What motivates certain people to do certain things? Again, God was motivated by love. And in love, he sent Christ, that all who believe in him might be saved. But we've distorted God's motivation. We've taken the focus off of that foundational truth. And so a lot of people start to believe that God is against them, or that God hates them, or that God is rooting for them to fail. He's not. He's running the race alongside you. He's clearly demarcated the entirety of it from start to finish, provided the rules of the race clearly and succinctly. The only thing left for you to do is to run faithfully run. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. If somebody veers off the path, call out to them, but don't follow them off of it, trying to get them back on it. Individually, we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And there's people that start out with the best of intentions, following someone off into the wilderness, trying to get them back on the path. And they get so discombobulated by a thousand different voices in the wilderness that they make camp there. And they never return to the race. They never return to the path. And they get deeper and deeper into this esoteric thinking and this esoteric mindset where they're endlessly debating idiocy, foolishness, irrelevancies. And every single foolishness and irrelevancy becomes the hill they're willing to die on. This is it. This is where I make my stand. Flat earth. That's it. Never once were they as vocal. Never once were they as insistent. Never once were they as committed about making Jesus the hill they were willing to die on as they are about flat earth right now. So what motivates that? What is the underlying motivation of taking something that really is not a salvific issue and making it the heartbeat of your entire existence? Might the motivation be unwillingness to submit to Christ? Might the motivation perhaps be pride or arrogance? I don't know. I'm just throwing these things out. Because every day, we're getting further and further away from the core of the message of salvation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Simple. And yet, no, it's too simple, isn't it? It's almost simplistic, brother. We need to complicate it. So let's do our utmost to confuse people. Let's do our utmost to take a tertiary issue that has no prominence or relevance and beat that dead horse until there's nothing left but a caved-in skull. It seems that if we miss a week, the news cycle keeps a cycling without us. So I don't even remember what all the hubbub was about last week, but this week the hubbub is about something else, and next week it'll be about something else. I think that we're living in a nation where a certain segment of the population is becoming ever more unhinged. And they're coming unhinged to the point that they more readily resort to violence than anything else. When you have no argument, when you cannot reason your way out of a paper bag because reason is a foreign concept to you, because all you know is free stuff, and well, you know, free stuff is good stuff, so give me free stuff. Then when someone asks the simplest of questions like, who's going to pay for the free stuff, the only thing that they have to fall back on is lashing out, violence. Now, in case you thought the whole world was dark and gloomy, there is a ray of sunshine, if you will, in the Democratic Party. She is the new titular head, the rising star, the genius du jour. Her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She is a open socialist, a.k.a. a communist. And lest you thought everything was hopeless, she is here to encourage you and make you happy, because she wants you to know that under her Medicare for All plan, your funeral expenses will be reduced. So, even though, you know, socialized medicine tends to kill off more people than private medicine does, have no fear. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is here to tell you that your funeral expenses are going to be reduced. By how much? We don't know. Your taxes are going to go through the roof, but you won't care. You'll be dead. And hey, the people that have to foot the bill for putting you in the ground are going to get a discount. Now, if you happen to see the interview, I had to watch it because she did the interview with perhaps one of the dumbest people on the planet, which was none other than the brother of the governor of New York, Señor Cuomo. If you haven't seen this guy, he's always got that expression on his face, is, what's my name? Did I change my underwear? And where am I? All rolled up into one. And even he, with his room temperature IQ, made the face of, what are you talking about? When she started going on and on about your funeral expenses being reduced. So even a guy like Chris Cuomo, who has difficulty grasping Celsius and Fahrenheit, was awestruck by the utter imbecility of the new star of the Democratic Party, 28-year-old firebrand Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Apparently, she also thinks soccer moms are evil. Furbies, too. I agree with her on the Furbies. I bought one at a yard sale for my daughter, and that thing would just come on at all hours of the night. I finally threw it away because it scared me one night, like 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you want to be my friend? And that's when it ended. But as far as soccer moms, why would you want to insult women who choose to raise their children? I understand you are a bitter individual who wants nothing to do with childbearing and wants everybody to be in a country led by you, dictated by you, told what to do, and for that privilege to get a discount on their funeral expenses. But there are some people that actually take joy in seeing their children grow up. There are some people that actually willingly sacrifice careers and put jobs on hold and take lesser paying jobs because it allows them to spend more time with their children. And one of the things that I found very disturbing is that the new Democratic Party, a.k.a. the new Socialist Democrat Party, has very little need or respect for people who just go to work, come home, have dinner with their families, play with their kids, and don't want to upturn the world in their fevered dream of trying another socialist utopian plan. See, they're going for the fringes. They're trying to do in 2018 and then they're hoping 2020, but I think the election's going to be so crushing that they're just going to give up. But they're trying to do in 2018 what Barack Hussein Obama did in 2012, which is cobble together disenfranchised minorities and get enough of them behind you where the disenfranchised minorities become a majority. Now, the reason that the likes of Bernie, I look like a mad genius, Sanders, and Madame Alessandria Ocasio-Cortez are having such a difficult time, an uphill battle, in convincing the average citizen that socialism is a grand, grand thing, is because unemployment is, what, 3.8%? P is 4.1. And people, believe it or not, surprisingly so, people are finding that they like keeping more of the money they earn. People are finding that there is a quiet and noble dignity in earning your daily bread with the sweat of your brow. People are realizing that it's actually a good thing that you could take your kids out for ice cream once or twice a week, that you could buy your wife some flowers every now and again, because you've got a few extra bucks in your pocket. People are finding that that's an okay thing. And when what you've got to pitch to them, these people that are newly employed, pay less in taxes, and see the economy humming, when all you have to offer them is reduced funeral expenses under Medicare for All, allow me to say that you probably need to rebrand your message. Maybe find another sticky wicket. Find another thing to complain about. Because I don't think a cheaper funeral is playing right now. I don't think people are running to the ballot boxes, ordering for the people, not ordering, but electing, voting for the people that Alessandria Ocasio-Cortez recommends, because their funeral expenses will be reduced. But yes, that is the ray of sunshine in an otherwise gloomy day. The newly minted star of the Democratic left promises you a cheaper funeral, not better medicine, not better health care, not quicker response time from your surgeon or physician. No. Medicare for All will reduce your funeral expenses. Oh, there you go. And this is the genius of the new left. This is the person branded a new star. And you've got, you know, the old stalwarts, the old guard, Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi. You sprinkle some Bernie in there just for the laugh track. And I'm seeing a pretty big red wave come November 2018. I think all of the predictions and all of the polling and all the data that they're spewing at people are as on point as they were during the presidential elections of 2016. Remember when Pantsuit Barbie and her ilk had a 99.8% chance of winning the presidency? That was published. In the New York Times, there were pollsters that were willing to wager their firstborn that Hillary Clinton would walk away with 48 of the contiguous states. This is why these people are so unhinged. Because the impossible, the utterly impossible, took place right before their very eyes. Something they thought could never happen happened. And to this moment, they still haven't wrapped their minds around that. Now, in case you thought all of it was good news, a man was arrested at a New Mexico compound. Apparently, teaching children how to shoot guns and kill people. Now, if you think this was some sort of white nationalist, because that's the new term, isn't it? You white nationalists are all violent, even though they're the ones that are getting beat up every week. But the man that was arrested in New Mexico is the son of an imam. Now, if you do not know what an imam is, it is not a Christian pastor. It is not even a Scientologist. No. Scientologists, goofy and nutty as a Snickers bar, but harmless. An imam is a spiritual leader, a teacher, or an elder in the religion of peace known as Islam. Now, the man that was arrested in New Mexico is the son of an imam with possible links to the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. So here he is, the son of this man, who was arrested at a squalid New Mexico compound, not because he hadn't showered in a very long time, but because authorities found 11 children, along with 4 adults, that were living in filthy conditions at the compound Saturday in Amalia, New Mexico. Prosecutors alleged in court that Wahaj, that is his name, and if you think that, you know, his dad just made up that name, nope, that Siraj Wahaj is his father. So, Siraj Wahaj was the imam, and then his son, Wahaj, who was 39, was teaching the children to commit school shootings. Let that sink in for a second. Before we start spouting off about open borders and open arms and everybody deserves a chance, Mr. Wahaj was teaching children to commit school shootings. Yes, some people need to be kicked out. Yes, every person coming into the country needs to be vetted. And no, not everyone who comes with a litter of kids and say, these are all my children's, chances are they're not. So let's just be a little, you know, adult about this. The documents claim that Wahaj was conducting weapons training with rifles at the compound with the children. Taos County Sheriff Jerry Hogreef previously said adults at the compound were considered extremist of the Muslim belief. So they were not extremists of the Christian belief. They are extremists of the Muslim belief. He did not elaborate, saying it was part of the investigation. The elder Wahaj heads the Majid Atawaka Mosque in Brooklyn, New York, which has attracted speakers over the years who have been described as radical. Case Supreme. The elder Wahaj was named in the investigation of the 1993 World Trade Center bombings, but was never charged. Authorities were searching the compound in search of the younger Siraj Wahaj's 4-year-old son, Abdul Ghani, who is severely disabled and disappeared from Georgia in December. He is accused of kidnapping the boy. So, this is in New Mexico. Now, although a judge ordered all five adults to be held without bond, how many more of these little outposts do you think there are out there? See, the only reason that Juarez the Jr. got arrested was because he kidnapped his disabled son from Georgia. And during the investigation into searching for his son, they discovered, oh, four adults teaching 11 children to commit school shootings. Now, the reason I brought this up is because some people are living under the illusion that all is well, that we are safe, that just because this administration is committed to keeping its citizens safe, it makes it so. I'm going to bring all this together shortly. We are so distracted at every moment of every day, and we allow ourselves to be so because in the back of our mind we think that we are safe. And there are very bad things happening right under our noses. People don't even notice because they're so distracted. Be vigilant. Not only in your spiritual life, that goes without saying. But be vigilant in your everyday life. Be aware of where you are. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of the people that are within your sphere at any given moment. Because evil men to this day plotting. They're teaching kids how to do school shootings. And the only reason this got found out was the guy kidnapped his own son. And I guarantee you he didn't kidnap his son to send him to private school. He kidnapped his own flesh and blood to use him as he was using the other 11 children to further a zealous cause and satisfy the demands of a bloodthirsty religion. And the amazing thing to me is that given all the enemy present themselves from without and from within this nation, we're still at each other's throats, literally and figuratively. Not realizing that the danger these people pose is beyond anything we can imagine. Even when horrible things happen, it grips our attention for a second. And then we go back to backbiting each other and stabbing at each other and poking each other in the eye. Another thing that has taken place, and this should be concerning, not so much because of who the individual is, But because I think this was a test run. It was like a test balloon to see how the public would react. Alex Jones, if you don't know who that is, I have to, you know, full disclosure, I don't listen to Alex Jones. Too conspiratorial for my taste. However, he has a right to say whatever he wants to say because, theoretically at least, we're living in a free nation. But it seems that Alex Jones and his radio program has been completely scrubbed from Apple, from Facebook, from YouTube, from Twitter, and other platforms. So even though you're not, you know, if you are a fan of him, okay. Even if you're not a fan of Alex Jones, even if you've never heard of Alex Jones, the fact that these big tech companies can collude together and take one individual and isolate him and ban him should be a real concern to every single person, because if they can do it to this guy who has a real substantial fan base, they can do it to anybody that they disagree with. Because this is their utopia. This is what they want to get to. A place and a nation with no dissenting opinion. What they say goes, and that's that. Do you realize the depths of this perversity? Even if you disagree with the man, you've got to realize that this was a concerted effort by the biggest media companies in the world to silence an individual. Apple, Facebook, YouTube, and Spotify. All of them decided in one foul swoop to silence one individual. See, people used to ask me, why don't you get on Twitter and why don't you Facebook more? Because I don't want to be dependent on anybody's platform for the words I have to say getting out. And so until the USPS starts monitoring newsletters and seeing what goes out, it's the safest way to do it. They can't stop it. This thing that just happened, it raises a lot of questions and it should raise a lot of concerns. Because the other side has realized, it's dawned on them that they cannot win on an even playing field. Nobody's buying what they're selling on an even playing field. Especially now that people are getting jobs, and now that the tax cuts are working, and now that the gross domestic product is jumping farther than anyone dreamed a year and a half, 2 years ago. All good things. And when you take all of these good things that the mass media will not report on and counterbalance them with what the other side has to offer, which is funeral expenses reduced, we don't know by how much, maybe 1%, maybe 10%, but they will be reduced. Never mind that your taxes are probably going to go up by 150%. But, you know, it's got to come from somewhere. You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. You can't have a socialist utopia without running some people into the ground. When the messaging of the other side is basically communism, while the economy is doing well, while jobs are coming back, while right now there are more jobs than people looking for work in this country, which is amazing. And because of this, it will likely push for better pay increases. Because when there's a demand for employees, then the employee has a little leverage as to what he can ask to be paid. I see billboards and signs all around my community. Now hiring, $18 an hour. And you get a little extra something if you're willing to work third shift. See, you didn't have to go out in the street and march for Fight for 15. All you had to do was take the restrictions away. All you had to do was unmuzzle the economy. And there's people offering, not 15, $18. Just come get a job. It's working, and the other side has nothing to counter that. And so they appealed to their lackeys. They appealed to those who've always had their back, as the kids like to say, to Silicon Valley and to the masters of the universe. The time suck known as Facebook and YouTube and all the other platforms where people had a fan base. And they said, hey, we need to do something about this. These people are making headway. They're connecting with the average citizen. Our message of socialism and free stuff isn't playing the way we thought it would. Help us! And so they colluded together to simply shut off an individual's ability to communicate with his fan base. What if you are their next target? What if one of the individual who whisper in these people's ears wake up one day and say, hey, if all these Christian people couldn't get their message out, if all these Christian people couldn't talk about sin and repentance and Jesus and all that, it'd be a lot easier for us. Why don't you find something in your terms of service that you can just bash them over the head with and shut down their means of communication? And the lemmings would. I guarantee you that the lemmings would. Because to them, there is nothing that supersedes the globalist ideal. There is nothing that supersedes the imagined utopia. If only you little people would get out of the way. Only you little people could embrace the genius and luminary intellect of someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and understand that she wants to reduce your funeral expenses, then you would not just walk to the ballot box. You would run to it. And you would vote in the biggest pinko commie you could find in your region. So yeah, this is what is happening in a free nation. Welcome to 2018, kids. Bumpy ride from here on out. But with all that having been said, may we not lose sight of the overarching truth. Jesus is returning. And he is returning for a bride without spot and without wrinkle. That must be your priority. That must be your ideal. That every morning you wake up and you feel the sunshine on your face. You acknowledge that you are here but by his grace. And that he is soon returning with the expectation of finding you without spot and without wrinkle. And with that, I thank you all for listening. I thank you for taking the time to join us. Lord willing, we will be back here next Thursday live and in studio. Until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. If you are in California, know that you are in our prayers. Be safe. Evacuate if you must, because nothing is worth dying for other than Christ. With that, Gino, if you've got anything to say, the floor is yours.
Well, persecution's coming, and when they start to silence voices, yes, and I do agree that Alex Jones, you know, he is involved in more conspiracy things than I would get involved with, as well as Mike, but it is. I don't think we really understand that persecution can come very quickly against people that are not going with the company line of CNN and other organizations and liberal news and Facebook and all these other things that do have control mechanisms to stop and eliminate, you know, opposing views. So I agree with Mike, you know, and I think you can also look on the news today and realize that we are making Russia very mad as well, and more sanctions against them. So I would urge people, as we put this show on YouTube, go to handofhope.com and check out the dreams and visions from God, because they are not dreams and visions that won't come to pass. They are messages from God that are coming to pass, and while we have this window of opportunity, stand strong, stand for your faith, stand up for truth. And until next week, God bless you. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, you can email lightoftruth@handofhelp.com.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.